Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during May. These days, the sun doesn't set until nearly 8 o'clock, so it's not really dark until well after dinner time. May opens with a swelling moon in the evening sky. On the 4th, look southeast after sunset to find it just below the bright planet Saturn. It'll be full when it rises the next night, the full flower moon, and each night thereafter it comes up about an hour later. You won't see the moon again in the evening sky until late in the month, after a spectacular event that I'll tell you about in just a bit. First, let's complete the inventory of the evening sky. By now you've surely noticed that dazzling UFO hanging over the western horizon after sunset. That's Venus. This planet outshines all the others, and all the nighttime stars too. Early in the month, it's sandwiched between two bright stars. Hold your fist at arm's length and look about two fists to the lower left of Venus. That reddish star is Betelgeuse, marking the armpit of Orion the Hunter. Betelgeuse is sinking fast, so watch how its position changes night by night with respect to Venus. To the planet's upper right, also about two fists away, is Capella, a name derived from the Latin word for goat. It's the brightest star in the constellation Auriga, who in Roman mythology is a charioteer who moonlights as a goat herder. If you could see Venus through a telescope, you'd see the planet as a slender crescent. When Galileo saw that Venus goes through a cycle of phases like the moons, he realized that the planet must be circling the sun rather than Earth. This planet shows a crescent right now because it's almost at the point directly between us and the sun. In fact, on June 5th, Venus will be exactly in between, crossing the sun's disk for the second time in 8 years, but for the last time until the year 2117. I'll tell you more about that in next month's podcast, but I thought I'd better give you a heads up since it comes so early in June. This rare celestial spectacle, called the Transit of Venus, will be observable from all of North America, and you can get details online at skyandtelescope.com/transit of Venus. Swing your view to the upper left from Venus by about three fists until you come to a pair of stars that are roughly equal in brightness. These are the twins of Gemini, with Pollux on the left and Castor on the right. From there, make a wider sweep toward upper left, and you'll bump into Mars. The red planet is quite a bit brighter than either of the twins, and it's also brighter than the star Regulus, not far to its lower right. Speaking of red planet, one thing to notice is that Mars is tinged with peachy color due to the rusty rocks on its surface. Look hard, and you might also notice that Pollux is just a touch redder than Castor. And finally, remember that even though all three look similar, Mars is not a star. It shines by reflected light, and its midday temperature is, 0 degrees Fahrenheit. By contrast, stars shine because they're so hot. Pollux is about 9,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and Castor is much hotter, closer to 16,000 degrees. Regulus is somewhere in between. By now you've probably noticed that Venus, Mars, and Saturn lie along a giant arc in the sky that extends down below the horizon to meet with the sun. This line has a name, the ecliptic, and it marks the sun's annual path among the constellations of the zodiac. And because the bright planets have orbits that are very nearly in the same plane as Earth's, these wanderers appear along the ecliptic too. This month, Venus lies in the constellation Taurus, both of which are sinking out of sight in the evening twilight. Mars is parked in Leo, and Saturn is in Virgo. The evening skies of May don't feature any slam-dunk constellations like Big Beefy Orion, which is sunk from view in the west, but there is one obvious pattern that just about everyone knows, the Big Dipper. To find it, all you have to do is look up, way up. You should see the Big Dipper looming over you, with its curved handle bent upward and its four-sided bowl apparently overturned as if dumping soup into some imaginary pot. Even though it's so well known, the Big Dipper isn't truly a constellation. It's what astronomers call an asterism, which is simply any group of stars that make a recognizable pattern. The Dipper is part of a larger constellation called Ursa Major, the Big Bear. Right now, this woolly beast is on its back, with the stars in the Dipper's handle serving as the bear's tail, the bowl marking its back, and its head off to the left. I think of the Big Dipper as the Swiss Army knife of the sky because it helps me find so many other key springtime stars. For starters, find the two stars at the left end forming one side of the bowl. Sky watchers call these the pointer stars, and here's why. Draw an imaginary line through the pointers and follow that line downward by the width of 3 fists. You'll come to a moderately bright star. That is Polaris, the North Star. You can use this little trick anytime you want. Just remember that those two stars point to Polaris. Now go back to the pointers in the Big Dipper, follow that line through them in the opposite direction, and 4 or 5 fists later you'll reach Regulus. So now you can point to Polaris and leap to Leo. But wait, there's more. Follow the curve formed by the Dipper's handle up through overhead until you reach a very bright star about 3 fists away. That's Arcturus, the spring sky's brightest star. Can you detect its ginger ale color? Now follow that same curved line past Arcturus until you come to Saturn and below it a rather bright icy white star named Spica in the southeastern sky. Congratulations! Now you know how to arc to Arcturus and spike to Spica using the Big Dipper. So here's that tip I was telling you about. On May 20th, there's a new moon, and it's a special one. On that date, the moon passes directly in front of the sun, much as Venus will do in early June. But the moon will almost completely cover the solar disk, briefly being surrounded by a brilliant ring or annulus of sunlight. This annular eclipse is observable from a narrow path stretching from Northern California to the Texas Panhandle late in the afternoon. Everyone else in Western North America will see a partial solar eclipse that day. And remember, it's never safe to look at the sun directly. Make sure you're using a special filter designed especially for that purpose. Check out skyandtelescope.com for more details and for all kinds of sky watching suggestions. Next month, we'll try to spot some of the lesser known constellations in the late spring sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.